Okay. So this morning is the end of the part one of the healing course. It has been interesting to keep going over this because it's a topic of tremendous importance to everyone. I just read this morning that another cause of diabetes, I could hardly believe it, air pollution. Isn't that mind-boggling? It's like we're living in a time when the enemy is really throwing everything he can at us. I have a cousin who's in the hospital at the moment. Don't know if he's alive or dead, but he has a heart issue, he has diabetes, he has high blood pressure, he's bipolar, got all kinds of things wrong with him, and only a miracle from God is going to set him free. It's important that we open our spirit to the teachings of Jesus Christ, particularly in the area of healing, because it's an area where if you don't need it today, someone you know will. You can count on it that there will come a time when there will be a tremendous need for God's healing power. It's not something that we ever grow out of, but it is something that we can continue to grow in. God is a miracle worker, and that needs to be clearly established in our spirit, because the time to learn about healing is not in the midst of the battle. Just as if you were going to war, the time to learn how your gun works is not while the enemy is shooting bullets at you. God has freely declared and given us ministry of healing. He's given that to us because Jesus said, "I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord. Not I'm going to be, but I am." And then he reaffirmed it in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 8. He himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Hallelujah is right. And here that this is such a crucial verse. It is the Spirit who gives life that brings the Word of God alive. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." For years, I didn't get it. Probably decades. But one day it unfolded, and I realized that the reason many, many born-again Christians miss what God is saying is because Jesus is speaking in the spirit, and they're listening in the flesh. And in order for the words to become life, you have to be listening in the spirit. It's not that hard to do once you know what to do. We need the Spirit of God to bring the Word alive in us. We need that. And that requires an investment of our time and energy and commitment to believing what God says is true. So today we're going to do a kind of a recap review of, as I said, this is part one. I'll probably do part two in the fall, but God gives healing power to the sick. So when a person is sick, what they need to know about God, number one, the bottom foundation, number one, God is willing to heal all. God is willing to heal all. You are not the exception. You are not the exception. And regardless of what happened to any relative you may have had, who may have been as holy as could be, and still didn't receive from God, that has no bearing on your situation. God is willing to heal all. But just as God said he's not willing for any to perish, where does he say that? Does he say that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge. Where is that?
John 3.
No, I'm talking about the exact verse here. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where is that? Well, let's look at 2 Peter. Peter's just before John. Chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody saved. Is that going to happen? No. Narrow is the way and few that find it. You only come to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ. Well, same thing for healing. You have got to receive the sacrifice that Jesus made. And starting off with, God is willing to heal. He's willing to heal. You are not the exception. Number two, God is a generous giver. Generous. You know, sometimes people think they've got three things wrong with them. God will heal one, but the other two, that's their problem. That's not true. That's not scriptural. God is a generous. God pours out his stuff generously. How do we know that? How do we know that's true? How do we know it's true? That God will do, I'll give you a hint, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Where is that? Anybody know where that is? Ephesians chapter 3. See, it's where's that? Verse 20. It's important that you have these verses sewn into your heart. And the reason it's important is that the enemy will come and attack and say, yeah, but you know, you're not a good person, so you're only going to get a little bit. You know, that's all God can give you. But when you have these other verses, and they are solidly planted, then you can reference them. The Spirit of God will bring them to your memory, and you can say, no, that's not true. My God is an exceptionally generous person. And he gives liberally, exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can even think about. That's what he gives. One of the methods through which God gives his healing power is? And why? What was that one? That's the one Jesus used most often. That's the one. You know, why was that? Why was that the one he used most often? Because it's the one that required the least amount of faith. It still required faith, though. It still required faith, but the least amount. So what is it that God gives the sick? Healing power. Healing power. So why do so many people have difficulty believing they receive when they pray? Why is it such a problem for so many? Why is that? because of a lack of knowledge. They have a lack of knowledge. They're looking for this and God's giving that. And they can't understand it. We need to clearly understand that what God gives, now he does sometimes give manifestations. Okay, he does do that. That's up to him. But what he has promised to give is power. His healing power. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Not healing manifestations, but power. He gave them power. So Jesus had all kinds of power with him. God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit, and he gave him power. That's what he did. Thank God he did. Now the woman, let's look at Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood. Now remember, you're just getting a summary of this stuff here, so you really have to go back to the previous messages and listen to them over and over again until they become very real. And I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I think it was John Ramsey. Does that sound right? No, maybe not. Anyway, this person was a Satanist. He was a third-level high priest in the United States. And he's now a pastor. And while he was a Satanist, his experience was when they were trying to put curses on Christians, the ones that were being prayed for, the Christians who had been prayed for, it would not work. Their curses would not come, it wouldn't work on them. And he eventually realized that God was more powerful than Satan. And in the course of events, he became born again and now he's a pastor. We need to pray because the power of God is very real. But if we don't pray, we're not activating it. You think of Daniel. He started to pray. How long did it take for his answer to come? How long? 21 days. Why did it take 21 days? Because it was a battle. When the angel arrived, he said to him, God, this is in Daniel chapter 10, he said to him, God heard your prayer right from the beginning. Right away, God heard your prayer. And I was sent to bring you the answer right away. But I couldn't get here because all the time the devils sent people to battle me, evil spirits to stop me from bringing the answer until Michael the archangel came and helped me. That's all in Daniel chapter 10. There's a real battle going on. That's why you have to persevere in your prayers. Persevere. You could be just on the edge of getting your answer and you quit. You've got to hang in there. Amen? So here she is. There's a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. For reference, it's Mark chapter 5. Verses 25 to 34. Okay. A certain woman had a flow of blood 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians. She spent everything she had, and she was no better. She got worse. So she heard about Jesus. What did she hear about him? He could heal her. He could heal her. She heard that Jesus could heal her. So she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, and in fact, the Greek there says she kept saying, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself, that, what went out of him?
Power.
Power. not a healing manifestation, power. Power went out of him. But that power went out of him and connected with her faith and became a healing manifestation. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples basically said to him, "What are you, nuts here? There's tons of people around you. They're all crushing to touch you. They're all crowding you. You're being touched on every side. Why are you asking this?" So, what's the difference? All the people are touching him. Was this woman the only person who needed healing, you think?
No.
No. There were probably all kinds of people in the crowd needed it. How many people are touching Jesus in any manner? What's your guess? 20? Let's be conservative, say 20. I mean, they're all gathered around him, they're pressing, touching him, looking for something. What are they looking for? Manifestation. They're looking for a manifestation. They heard, same as the woman heard. What's the difference? Why aren't they being healed? There were lots of people there who needed healing. Why aren't they being healed? How many got healed here?
One.
One. Is that because she's the only one needed it? No. There were all kinds of people that needed it. Now, Jesus, what did he say? What did he say? Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? There were all kinds of people pushing me, touching me, crowding me, all kinds of them. But one was different. One of those touches was different. One of them was a touch of faith. A touch of faith. And so Jesus could tell that one of the people who touched him in faith. He said, "Power's gone out of me." Now, he didn't know who it was. It wasn't preset. Father didn't say to Jesus, "Listen, this morning at 10:48, there's going to be a crowd around you, and one of those people who touches you is going to have faith, and we're going to release power into it." That's not what happened. He didn't even know. He didn't even know. What does that tell us? What do you hear? What do you think when you hear that? What do you think? Come on. What do you think?
Faith is powerful.
Faith is powerful. Yes?
Genuine faith.
Genuine faith. Needs to be acted on. It's always available.
Our confession is important.
Our confession is critical.
And Jesus is the source of healing.
Jesus is the source of healing. Jesus is the source of healing. Our confession is critical. This woman, she hit all the dots here. First of all, should she have been among them?
No.
No. Not allowed to. And who's in the crowd there? Jairus, who is? He's the synagogue ruler. And has the power to punish her for being there because she's not allowed to be there. In fact, she should have been going around saying, "Unclean, unclean." No, she didn't. But I think God would forgive her for that. But she has determined in herself, the moment I touch Jesus, I'll be healed. The moment I touch Jesus, the moment I touch Jesus, the moment I touch... Now, this is a desperate woman. I mean, how long she had this problem? 12 years. 12 years. 12 years. How much money has she spent? Every penny she had. And did they help her? No, she got worse. She got worse. So she's really desperate. I'm sure she's tried everything she can think of. But something in her was drawn to Jesus, she heard, God heals, God heals, God heals. Jesus will heal me if I can just get to him. If I can get to Jesus, he will heal me. I just have to touch his clothes. I don't have to stop him and have him pray. If I can touch his clothes, I will be healed. I will be healed. I will be healed. I will be healed. So she pushes her way in. She pushes her way in. So what did she receive when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment? What did she receive? Let's see here. Let's look it up here. Okay. Verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Power. She received power. What kind of power? Healing power. How do we know? Because she got healed. Healing power. Now you notice it does not say that when she touched him, a healing manifestation flowed out of Jesus to her. Because that's not what happened. What flowed out of Jesus was power. That power had to connect. It had to connect with her faith to become a miracle of healing. You see that? The healing power had to be administered, but it had to connect with something. It had to connect. How do we know? Because that healing power was there before she touched him. You know, it didn't just suddenly materialize. Oh, here she comes. Turn it on there, Holy Spirit. That's not what happened. You know, they didn't have Jesus' healing power turned on and off. It was always on. It was always on. Anyone in that group could have done the same thing. Anyone. Why didn't they? Why didn't they? One word. Unbelief. 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 Often people want to see, what can you do? Let's see if you can do something. They don't realize that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. You can receive. But that, see, that puts an onus on me. I've got to believe. I don't want to have to do that. I want you to do it all. But that's not what God said. He said in Mark 11:24. What did he say? Mark 11:24. Let's read that. He said, and when you pray, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You will have them. You will. What do you have to do first? You have to believe. Well, that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? So how do we get to the place where we do? How do we get to the place of believing if we're not there yet? Well, how do we get there?
Soak in the Word.
Soak in the Word. Which word? Nope. Healing scriptures. Healing scriptures. It would take you decades to soak in the whole Bible, which is a good thing to do. But if you need healing, you soak in the healing verses. How long do you soak for? 28 minutes? How long do you soak for? Until you believe, you receive. Until you believe, you receive. Until you believe, you receive. Until you believe. See, this woman with the issue of blood Do you think she was focused?
Yes.
This woman was desperate. She was really desperate. She needed a miracle. She needed a miracle. She'd gone everywhere. And she needed a miracle. She was really, really focused. When she came to Jesus, her heart was completely set on Jesus. And Jesus didn't know she was there. But he knew power was coming out of him. He knew it. Because her faith was drawing that power out. And what God would do for her, he'd do for anybody. There are no special pets in the kingdom of God. There are no special pets. And if your faith isn't at the level yet to receive, the thing to do is not to quit. The thing to do is persevere. Persevere. How do you know that'll do something? Because what happened with the disciples? You know, Mark chapter 9, Father brought them demon-possessed boy, and what did they do? Nothing. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything to help him. So the Father then goes to Jesus, and he says to him, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything. Well, Jesus was not impressed with them. So he said, bring him to me. And the Father said, you know, help me. And Jesus said, if you can believe, you can receive. And the Father was very honest. He didn't say, oh, Jesus, I have such great faith in you. I know the moment you blah, blah, blah. He didn't do that. He said, Lord, I believe, kind of. Help my unbelief. And that was enough. The mercy of Jesus was activated, and the boy was healed. Delivered. You see how important our mindset is? It's so important. So important. If you come for prayer and you're just looking to see what'll happen, there's no point in getting up. No point. It doesn't matter who prays for you. You know, doesn't matter who it is. You could have Kenneth Hagin and many others. And if you're not coming with your faith activated, unless the gifts of the Spirit are operating, which they do sometimes, unless they're operating, you're not going to get anything. But you activate it with your mouth, saying, I believe, God, I believe. The moment hands are laid on me, I'll be healed. I thank God. The moment hands are laid upon me, your healing power is in my body working. Now, what do you do if you come up and you get prayed for and you've said all that, said all the right things, and an hour later you're still sick? What do you do? What do you do? Gonna speak louder.
Still confess you're healed.
Thank God that the healing power is working mightily.
Yep. Often, healing is not instant. The manifestation I'm talking about now. Often it's not instant. Sometimes it is, but often it's not. It's gradual. But that healing power is working. It's working. It's working. It's working. And I think sometimes the reason, now this is just my opinion, the reason God doesn't make everything instant is that we would begin to treat him like a ATM. You know, we'll come and see you when we have a need, but otherwise we're good. That's not the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. It's not. Amen. So we're going to pray for anyone who would like to be prayed for, but before I do that, I want to ask if there's any questions. Does anyone have any questions about what's been said or in general about healing? That's what we're talking about this morning. Any thoughts or questions on it? Okay. No questions.